want to share with you, as most of you know, that the United Methodist Church has been in session at a specially called meeting of the General Conference. That basically is Methodism from all over the world coming together, and this particular time, they addressed the issue of homosexuality, LGBTQAI+, as it is referred to. And our church, as you have seen in the newspapers, as you've heard on television, is split. The prevailing motion was what is called the traditional plan, which won out over another motion called the one church plan. And that traditional model basically holds that the church maintains as it is now, it without changing, but with some stricter regulations and prohibitions against the ordination of gay pastors and prohibiting the use of church buildings for same-sex marriages. The one church plan, which was defeated, and again, this was by a close margin, held the position that ordination and full inclusion and the use of church buildings, along with the removal of the phrase from the United Methodist Book of Discipline, which says that homosexuality is incompatible with Scripture, that phrase would be removed. The church session was held. The decision was made. What I want to share with you from my heart today is in response to some of the reaction. I have read an article where a seminary professor from the seminary that I attended responded by saying he was angry. He was angry at those who voted on the other side from him, and he was angry and disgusted with their politics. Yesterday, many of us were at a session with our own bishop, and we heard and received our bishop's frustration. But let me share this with you, because as I experience reaction, and much of that reaction from conversation with you during the course of the week and last night at our Sabbath service, there was much conversation afterwards. And this is what I'm experiencing. I'm experiencing people saying, I don't understand the thinking of those country bumpkins, the Bible Belt people, and their limitations. Some are saying, I don't understand the push of those California liberals and how they're trying to impact the church. And people here are saying those kind of things. What I want to share with you today is that I have been a delegate to General Conference twice, as an alternate delegate, and I've attended a third time when I was a seminary student. And what I want to share with you today, that all 800 of those delegates are now sitting in church pews, in worship, both in California and in the Bible Belt. What I want to communicate, though there is frustration and there is anger, I want to share with you that those who prevailed have a clear understanding of theology and a very shrewd approach to politics. Yes. Those who promoted the One Church plan have a heart for people. And the desire that all people be at a place where they can know and experience God. What I want to share with you today is that when we shake our fist at one side or shake our fist at the other for how they voted and how they acted, I have to say They are us. They are like us in church on this day. Now, we can talk about them and them, but they are us. Our church council here at this church, in discussing previously these topics, I proposed a vote just to see where we were in our thinking. And I said this, straw vote. If the bishop assigned a gay pastor, a senior pastor of this church, would you be okay with that? 50% of our church council said absolutely. 50%, and it was 50-50 right down the line. 50% said, I don't think we can handle that. So who is it that we're shaking our fist at? For if we shake our fist, we're shaking our fist at ourselves. For our own council struggles with this. One conversation I had last night with one of our members, he said this, I'm confused. I'm confused. My Southern Baptist son tells me about what Scripture says, and I understand that. And yet my lesbian niece, I have a heart for her, and I am confused. Babe Ruth, the baseball player, tells a story about one time coming up to bat. And the pitch from the pitcher was clearly outside. The umpire, whose name was Babe Pinelli, called a strike. To which Babe Ruth said this. He turned to the umpire and said, there are 40,000 people here in the stands who would attest that that was a ball. You called it a strike, meathead. To which Babe Pirelli said this, 40,000 people might be right. The only opinion that matters is mine. And I say it's a ball. I want us to put into perspective the fact that we are one. We are struggling with this. We have seen denominations split in half. And you know, some of you were a part of those denominations that were once great. This issue split them in half, and now they're just the shadow of what they used to be. I believe the United Methodist Church will continue to work at this and will continue to be a United Methodist Church, though not in agreement. Let me take us now to our scripture, because I want us to understand something. Before the transfiguration, Jesus said to his disciples in the chapter before this, he said, who do people say that I am? And he asked his disciples, what does the crowd think? And they said, well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're a great prophet. Some say you're this or that. And Jesus got to the heart of the matter, and he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter, the same one who was always the first to speak, Peter said, you are the Messiah. You are the Messiah. And Jesus said, as he continued, he said, take up your cross and follow me. Think about that. How appealing is that? Jesus died a horrible death on the cross for you and for me. But it was Jesus on the cross, not you or me. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. He said, come down a road that's not going to be comfortable. Every delegate at General Conference felt uncomfortable. Those who spoke on this side, those who spoke on that side, felt like half the room was against them. Jesus said, take up your cross. It's not going to be easy, but follow me. And that's what we are called to do. What happened at the Transfiguration? Jesus, in a white, glowing, the scripture says his face, his appearance changed. He became white and glowing, and his garments, and along with Moses and Elijah, who appeared the same way. There was something supernatural happening. And Jesus was prepared for that which he had to do. I believe that we as a church have a tough road yet ahead of us. But we are called not to go by what the crowd is saying. Jesus said, what do they say that, who do they say that I am? Peter had it right. You are the Messiah. And what was the word of instruction that they heard in the midst of the cloud during that transfiguration experience? A cloud came over them, and they heard the voice of God, which simply said, this is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. I think this is a season for us as the church to put politics aside, to listen to Jesus. Not to proof text our position, but to listen to Jesus as to what Jesus would say to us in our hearts. Let us keep in mind, as we work through these issues, both in this congregation and in the church at large, that there is no time for this and this, for we shake our fists at each other. If I took a straw vote here this morning on which position you would support, you would see that we are divided. Let us seek first the will of God and understand that the work of the church needs us to be together. Yesterday here at the church, we sponsored an event called Powwow, which is a food distribution program where food that was not taken up by the grocery stores, which in the past was destroyed by and thrown away at the dump because it was surplus, has been rescued by the organization we work with called Borderlands. The food is brought to various churches where we give it out to people in our community. And that's a big job. And the people who work that job from this church probably are split on various issues, at various politics, political parties, and so forth. But it took all of us working together to distribute the food. Our community came and said to us, thank you for doing this. I was the one at the front of the line. I heard that comment so many times. Thank you for caring about us. Thank you for making this available. Thank you to your church for doing this. That's just one thing of so many things that we do together as the people of God. Not everyone's going to be happy with my comments today. But I want you to do as I said, and even if you choose not to listen to me, look to the God of the Transfiguration, because something special was happening there that day. Listen to the voice that spoke in the cloud that said, this is my chosen son. Listen to him. Jesus didn't say, what does the crowd have to say? We're going to take a poll of the crowd. We're going to go in that direction. The voice was, listen to him. And that is what we need to do. Amen.